Because this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, entitled Conversations Between Manu and Kadama. Text number 22. Rishivacha. The great sage Maitreya said, Iti, thus, avyalikam, sincerely, pranutaha, having been praised, abjanabha, Lord Vishnu, tam, to Kadama Muni, ababhasahi, replied, vachasa, with words, amritena, as sweet as nectar, suparna, of Garuda, paksha, the shoulders, upari, upon, rojamana, shining, prema, of affection, smita, with a smile, udvikshana, looking, vibhramat, gracefully moving, bruh, eyebrows. Translation, Maitreya resumed, sincerely extolled in these words, Lord Vishnu, shining very beautifully on the shoulders of Garuda, replied with words as sweet as nectar. His eyebrows moved gracefully as he looked at the sage with a smile full of affection. Please repeat, Maitreya resumed, sincerely extolled in these words, Lord Vishnu, shining very beautifully on the shoulders of Garuda, replied with words as sweet as nectar. His eyebrows moved gracefully as he looked at the sage with a smile full of affection. The word vachasamritena is significant. Whenever the Lord speaks, he speaks from the transcendental world. He does not speak from the material world. Since he is transcendental, his speech is also transcendental, as is his activity. Everything in relation to him is transcendental. The word amrita refers to one who does not meet with death. The words and activities of the Lord are deathless. Therefore, they are not manufactured of this material world. The sound of this material world and that of the spiritual world are completely different. The sound of the spiritual world is nectarian and eternal, whereas the sound of the material world is hackneyed and subject to end. The sound of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, everlastingly increases the enthusiasm of the chanter. Is proof. It's only four times Hare Krishna here, but you all got so enthusiastic just by hearing that you chanted four times Hare Rama. So it everlastingly increases the enthusiasm of the chanter. If one repeats monotonous material words, he will feel exhausted. But if he chants Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, he will never feel exhausted. Rather, he will feel encouraged to continue chanting more and more. When the Lord replied to the sage, Kadama, the word vachasamritena is specifically mentioned. Since he spoke from the transcendental world, he replied in transcendental words. And when he spoke, his eyebrows moved with great affection. When a devotee praises the Lord, and the Lord is very satisfied, and he bestows his transcendental benediction upon the devotee without reservation, because he is always causelessly merciful towards his devotee. End of prayer word. Om Agyananta Nandasya Gyananjanachalavya Chakshurmitam Atasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Maam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Simhati Bhakti Vidanda Swaminiti Namane Namasi Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vicharini Vishnavani Vistani Nevancha Kalpatru Paschaki Pasinavi Vichavri Dabnam Pamnam Vaishnavi Namaha. Translation again. Maitreya resumed, sincerely extolled in these words, Lord Vishnu, shining very beautifully on the shoulders of Garuda, replied with words as sweet as nectar. His eyes moved gracefully as he looked at the sage with a smile full of affection. Here's another very beautiful verse and a very rare verse which is actually spoken directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not a common thing in this world. If someone can ask what the Lord spoke, not many people could answer. What does the Lord look like, etc., etc.? Not many people could answer. So in the Bhagavatam we got many examples of the Lord actually speaking, how he speaks, what he's actually like. So it's a very, very rare situation that we found here. So just consider our good fortune that we can have a glimpse of the Lord's personality. And his personality is so attractive that simply by hearing about them we will lose taste for lose our taste or material attraction. That is the idea. So to be always engaged in the service of the all attractive, this is a way to become free from the enslavement that we find ourselves in the material world. And simply by understanding the Lord Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Kama, Chamayi Divyam, that one who understands the nature of my appearance and activities, he doesn't have to take birth again, but he comes to my supreme abode. And many places in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states that fact, that one who actually knows him comes to him, one who serves him comes to him. So how do we see the Lord? How do we know the Lord for the ultimate benediction here, that the Lord will actually appear before someone? The Lord was pleased with Maitreya, with Kadama's prayers and his activities to actually attain the favor of the Lord, because that's after all what he wanted. He wanted to get the favor of the Lord so he could perform his prescribed duties, which ultimately are coming from the Lord through Brahma, etc. Very nicely. He could perform them in the best possible way without becoming entangled and eventually become completely purified and ready to go back to Godhead. So when the Lord speaks, it's not coming from the material world. So this is we want to understand how the Lord deals, how the Lord, what motivates the Lord, etc. why the Lord does what he does. We want to understand somebody, right? We have to understand their motivation. And then we can see the difference between him and us, and then we can begin to try to move in his paradigm, and that's what's actually wanted, and that will be our perfection. That is the natural condition of the uncovered soul, jiva, that is perfectly in perfectly coherent with the will of the Lord, and acts like that. Here we've in a conditioned state, then we forget the Lord. So the Lord's prominence is diminished, and then what is next? Then me, I become prominent. My interest becomes prominent. Right? So that's the difference there, that, you know, for ourselves, we know that we're always desiring future happiness. Right? We're always working for something, for some future happiness. Right? That's why we're here now, here in the class, more or less, except for the pure devotees amongst us. For our future happiness, for our future benefit that we're here. That's why we came to Mayapur, that's why we joined ISKCON, that's why we chant Hare Krishna. Right? For a better state of existence, to better ourselves. So, and that's every living entity is the same. Every living entity is trying to better themselves, trying to find a better situation, because the material world is not a comfortable place, actually. The clashes are there. So what really motivates the Lord? Because that desire for improvement, that motivates. That's the underlying motivation for all of our activities. Everything we do is motivated by that, practically speaking. Everything we that's the cause of all our activities and our paradigm, how we want to live, what we want in life. So, Krishna, he's not like that. Krishna, he's the embodiment of knowledge and bliss. He's got what we want, what we're seeking. He's already got that. We want a secure position, happiness. Krishna's already, he has that position already. He doesn't have to look for that. He's a complete embodiment of that. So there's a difference. so what is Krishna doing then? If he's not looking for that, if he's not concerned about his future happiness, what are we looking for? Two things. We're mainly governed by those two things that the living entity is seeking. What are they? What are we trying to do? Two things, basically. All the living entities. What are we seeking? Two things. Go on. Happiness, yeah, and the other one? Huh? Yeah, why do we want knowledge? Huh? No, Krishna says everyone's seeking is gain and safety. Knowledge is, we want knowledge so we can control the situation. We're suffering according to the kleshas. So we want knowledge, how to overcome this. The Gyanis, they want knowledge, why? For liberation, so they can control their situation. They want to be liberated from this, the clutches of the material world. They want freedom from it. So they want to control that. They're under control of the material world. We're conditioned souls. So we want to control the material situation. That's Gyan, knowledge. And the Karmis, they want to enjoy the situation. So those two things are what's going on. Everyone is doing that practically all the time. But so they are divided into four things. The four main things that the living entity is preoccupied with: eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And three out of four is practically defending. Three out of four, are necessities of life. Three out of four, you can't refuse. You've got to, you have to address them. The enjoying, you can tolerate that. But the eating, sleeping, mating, you can't. Eating, sleeping, defending, sorry. You can't ignore those. That's what keeps us preoccupied most of, whole day, whole life, doing these things. So that's a conditional life. Simply doing those things, how to get through the day, and be happy, and so you can have some. When you resolve the problems, then you can think about the actual business, which is enjoying. So Krishna doesn't have to do that. He's already, he's not like that. He doesn't have that problem. Krishna has not, he has nothing to fear. Can you imagine? And nothing to gain. Can you imagine that? He doesn't come here to, he's not trying to control or enjoy the situation here. He gives that job to the demigods. They want to be controllers, they want to be enjoyers. They've forgotten Krishna also, traditionally. So then he gives that opportunity to control and enjoy to the demigods. Right? They're actually the controllers and the enjoyers too. You know, bigger controllers and enjoyers than we are. They're not actually real controllers and real enjoyers. They're controlling because of Krishna gives them a potency, and they're enjoying something very, very shallow compared with the what Krishna's experience or with the residents of the spiritual world experiencing. The prison house, after all. So, what we're interested in, this endeavor to control and enjoy or gain and safety, Krishna's not interested. He can. He is a controller. He can control and he can enjoy. It's not a problem for him. But he doesn't. You let the demigods do that. He's not interested in that. So what is he doing here? Why does he come? Think about it. Imagine yourself in that position. If you didn't have to control, you didn't have to enjoy. If you didn't have to struggle to keep the kleshas away, there were no problems, and you were perfectly satisfied. What a relief. Huh? No more problems. And they're not coming in the future either. The problems aren't even coming in the future. What a relief. And you're completely happy. Okay? It's nice, huh? Now what will you do? Now what are you going to do? This is liberation. Now what will you do? You attain this wonderful situation. Shanti, peaceful. No more problems. So that's not necessarily, Krishna consciousness is going to completely satisfy the living entity. Because after a little while, you'll think, now what am I going to do? Right? After living in this consciousness for some time, you'll think, there's some activity's got to be there. What am I going to do? Okay. There's no problems, but purpose of creation is enjoyment. We're created for enjoyment. Secondary enjoyers. We assist in Krishna's enjoyment. That's the greatest enjoyment. So you see the difference. So we can begin to understand a little bit about Krishna's activities, why he comes. So what is the reason he comes here then? He doesn't want to enjoy, he doesn't want to control. Even he has the opportunity. He is a controller and enjoyer, but he gives it to someone else. You, the demigods, you manage it. I'm not interested. So what is Krishna's interest? Question. Yeah? Right. Sorry. Yeah, for the pleasure of devotees, which includes bumping off the miscreants if they annoy the devotees. But that's the main thing, it's the pleasure of his devotees that he's considering. So just think how nice Krishna is. Right? That's why he's the Supreme Personality. He has no comparison. You won't get a personality, you won't get a friend like that anywhere. They don't exist. So what a wonderful personality he is. We're trying to control and enjoy separately from Krishna. And it's an illusion, and we're just making a mess of things. And Krishna knows that. So he comes here, and he's offering to us complete control, complete enjoyment. More or less. In the spiritual world, you're free to do as you like. But you don't misuse that independence. But you have complete freedom. The trees are chintamani, the trees are kalpavriksha, the dust is chintamani. Whatever you desire can happen immediately. without any endeavor. But of course, they don't misuse that like we would here. We'd immediately start thinking about sense gratification. But there they have Krishna, so their sense gratification becomes insignificant. So they don't utilize it for themselves. They have something better. They have association with Krishna, which is incomparable. So therefore, those things don't bother them. Those opulences don't allure them. Those opulences fade away in the presence of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, Krishna's personal opulence. So now we can understand a little of why Krishna comes here, you know, and what motivates him. It's simply for the pleasure of the devotees, how they will take it. Because he has no business to come here. He simply comes here to give us what we want. We want eternal happiness and no problems. So Krishna's coming to give it. Come, I show you. This is how to do it. Join my party. My party, there's none of that. Because whatever he does, it's not coming. As Prabhupada said, it's not the whatever he speaks is transcendental. Whatever he does is transcendental. Everything in relation to him is transcendental, because he has nothing to gain here. He's not coming to. He doesn't want anything from this place. Like us, all our activities are based on desire to achieve something. But what is Krishna? Krishna doesn't want anything in the material world. So he's coming to show this is what the activities are like in the spiritual world. So therefore, he appears here with his entourage, and he enacts those same pastimes or similar pastimes of what goes on in the spiritual world. Anyway, a similar mentality of what goes on in the spiritual world. How he is the most wonderful person. Everyone has great affection for Krishna, and they serve him in that mood. And there you find that they're always successful. Krishna's happiness can't be impeded by anything, because nothing in the material world can touch him. Nothing can influence him. He has no fear. Nothing to gain. Huh? That's Krishna. And also those that are surrendered to Krishna completely, they're in the same situation. They also become fearless and blissful. In other words, they get that spiritual situation. Exactly the same as Krishna, except that he's actually the permitter and the actual sustainer of all of the others. But more or less, you're given complete freedom. Even within that, even though he's a sustainer, he's a maintainer, he's supplying everything. But still, you're given in the spiritual world, you're given complete freedom. Here, you're given freedom, but there's not much freedom, because the modes of nature are really hard. You know, they're really overpowering. So we have some freedom here, but you try to express that freedom, bang, 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 get down. You can't do very much. You can't do very much against these clashes, against the forces against this body and mind that is overpowering. But there, it's not. In the spiritual world, it's not there. You have complete freedom, more or less. So Krishna's coming here just a canvas for us. Huh? Whatever we're looking for now, Krishna says, "Okay, I can give that." Come here, I can give it. What do you want? Here it is. Come in my party. Step out of that party. Step out of the material world party. Step into my party. Here it is. This is exactly what you want. I'm offering what you want. You want happiness. You don't want suffering. Here it is. Come take it. No. It is such a shame, huh? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the jiva, the conditioned soul, simply makes an ass of himself. Ass carries heavy burdens, right? We're still carrying these heavy burdens of desire, and as a result we get a heavy burden of a body after body after body, and drag it around, or the mind drags us around in that particular body for 25 minutes in the material world, and then you get another one and another one. And Krishna's saying, don't give it. Out of his kindness, and of Prabhupada used the word canvas. Krishna comes and canvases. He's so desperate for our happiness. But we're unfortunate that we have become addicted. So here we're given so many lovely examples that have the Supreme Personality of God. A person, he comes and shows how he's speaking, shows his kindness, shows his beauty, shows his eloquence, and shows his love for the devotees of him, and we have to follow. And how do we know? How do we get Krishna? You can't get Krishna Krishna is not revealed unless he's pleased. In other words, we have to know how to please Krishna. That's the prerequisite. We have to please Krishna. To know Krishna, janma karma, jamedivyam, to know Krishna, when we know Krishna, we're free from the, don't have to take birth again, we go back to his abode. But how do we know him? We only know him when he reveals himself to us. And he only revealed himself to us when he's pleased with us. So we have to learn the art of pleasing Krishna. And then when we please Krishna, it means just Kadama pleased Krishna. He was following the instructions very nicely. He wasn't looking for pure unalloyed devotional service at a particular time. He wanted the benediction to do his duty. So he pleased. He followed very nicely. He was perfect activity for entering into the Grihastha ashram. Who can compare with that? Krishna was very pleased. Just like Mahaprabhu didn't distinguish between his devotees, whether they were Grihastha, sannyasis, or whatever. Some he was very intimate with, some he wasn't so intimate with. According to their adhikara and according to his mercy. Kadama, he may not have had this adhikara, otherwise he'd be listed as a pure unalloyed devotee. He had another role to play. But still Krishna was so affectionate to him. Comes and blesses him because he was following very nicely. He was following his duty very nicely, which is coming from Krishna. So when you please Krishna, only then you can know Krishna. Krishna, what did he say? I give the understanding by which you can come to me in the Bhagavad Gita. He's given that understanding. It's not that you're going to, eke it out of the scriptures, how to get Krishna, or how to, perform this sadhana, or perform this, that, do this and that too. You can't catch Krishna like that. When he's pleased with your, endeavor, then he'll do it. But that endeavor also, so we're always dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And that endeavor is to, of course, we know that to follow the, take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Otherwise we'll interpret which is the best way to please the Lord. So therefore we take Guru. and follow him because he knows Krishna better than us, so he can give us the proper way to please Krishna. Otherwise, if you just read the scripture, we may become doing the wrong thing. Actually, even if we think we're following the scripture, we may not have the actual adhikara to do that. The Prabhupada said, perfection, chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. That is perfection, but who can do it? Who has that adhikara? So it's not something you can just jump into. So whatever, if you're on the mode of goodness, it's a little different. You can just sit down and do those things. But otherwise, Prabhupada, I want everyone to work hard, he said for me. Work hard, distribute books. It was a lecture in Vrindavan. He was saying how... He said, we won't let them sit idle. He said, my Guru Maharaj also, he had this policy that he wouldn't let anyone, no time to sit idle. He said, and we're also following the same policy. And some of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples are very cultured people, very learned gentlemen, cultured and that. So it's not that Prabhupada, you know, only gave the Malechas and Yavanas work hard. It was, you know, it's rare to be in a mode of goodness. Then you can do this. Then you can easily do these things. So we follow the instruction of the spiritual master. There's a safe way. Everyone has a spiritual master, or should do. Then you follow them. You follow them. Then you know you're right. Huh? You know you're right. After doing the procedure to test the spiritual master, he tests the disciple. You accept that, then you know you're doing right. Even though your instruction may be different from another disciple, you know you're right. You can be sure of that. So this is the this is a way to please Krishna. And then when Krishna's pleased, then we get his wonderful darshan. So that's a mercy of, this is all the mercy of Krishna. How he, just think how much he is so affectionate for his devotees. And everyone's his devotee. But everyone in the material world is forgotten. So he comes here, even though he doesn't want anything to do with his material world. Just comes, performs his wonderful pastimes, give us a glimpse of, you know, reality, and come and join. Just out of his heart broken to see us here. That's the only reason he comes here. Why? Where else would he come? So, we'll perform activities that are pleasing to Krishna. Accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness, and reject what's unfavorable. These are the principles that we're following in the, it's given by Srila Rupa Goswami and the previous acharyas. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jai Go Premanandi Hari Rupa. You want a question? I have time to go for those who take breakfast, but if you want a question, you can. Akama Savakamava. He mentions that later. But also there's Krishna's desire over and above our desire for the pure devotees. Just like in the case of Prahlad, Krishna says, pure devotees like you, you don't want anything in this life or the next. He said, but I'm ordering you. You stay here and become king of the demons and enjoy sense gratification for a period of long as Manu. Hundreds and thousands of years. So there's also his desire. Prahlad didn't want anything personally. But still there's his desire. No, you stay and be on top of these demons. Give them a benediction in their dynasties. So, you know, their dynasty is also glorious like that. So there's also his desire also. Other things he feels, those, you know, happiness in this life, happiness in next life, liberation, if you want. But what he wants, you know, then whatever he wants us to do, then we should be. That is why the pure unalloyed devotees actually don't want anything. Now that I'm not Janam Sundarin, they actually don't want anything. Because if you can say that from the heart, then you've already got it. You've already got something else. You can't say it sincerely if you don't have it. Who can say, I don't want wealth, I don't want women, I don't want fame, I don't want this? Who can say that? They're attractive in the conditioned state. We think they're attractive. Otherwise, why don't we just surrender to Krishna? Why can't we do it? We don't have the adhikar, and that means there's some attraction, affiliation for the material world. So if you can actually say that, nadhanam janam nasindrim, I don't want this, it means you've already got something better. And the only thing better than that is Krishna. Okay? So it means, you know, it's like catch 22 there. You can't really give it up until you get Krishna. You can't get Krishna until you give it up. But when they say that, sincerely say that, that means, you know, they really don't want it because they've already got something. Otherwise, how can you give it up? The idea, existence means enjoyment. Right? The purpose of existence is enjoyment. you gotta have enjoyment somewhere. Yeah, he'll give anything, Krishna. But so it's up to you. Kadama, he's given Kadama. He could take him back to Godhead. But of course, he goes back at the end. But he has some duty to perform. Krishna could have said, no, don't worry about that, you know, because you love me and I love you and I want you back. Just go now. No, because there was a, you know, the creation had to take place. He's a major player. And go back later. It was, 20 or 30 minutes in the material world anyway, extra. You come back after your... Hare Krishna. Shubhobhara ki jai.